Oh, I hear the noise in my ear that tells me I may have the one and only Senator Tim Scott on the phone with me. Am I correct?
I am so happy to be back on the I Love Ann show.
And I am so glad to have you here on the I Love Ann show. How you doing, Senator Tim Scott?
It is a love fest. Everybody loves Ann, and I am doing fantastic. Anytime I hear your voice, I am better off.
Well, thank you so much, Tim. How you been doing?
I am doing well. We are living in times that are interesting, and I'm never bored.
Well, that's a loaded question right there that we could spend a whole lot of time on here today, but I know you don't have that much time. So I know that you wanted to say a few words about our Eagle unveiling today.
Yes, I'm so excited. I wish I was going to be there in person, but there's no doubt that any time we have an opportunity to acknowledge and just love our veterans, we should do so. And I'm excited to hear that the dedication ceremony for the Greenwood Veterans Center is today at 2 o'clock. More than 2,000 people are expected. I know you will be there,
right.
And I'm excited to be able to say to all of our veterans throughout the country, but specifically in the upstate, and to be uber specific in Greenwood, thank you for saving the world and for protecting our country by putting your own lives on the line. We have so much to be thankful for, and I'm excited to hear that there will be a new place for our veterans to go, and I'm excited about the Veterans Plaza.
Well, I know, Tim, you have always been very supportive of the veterans. You did the World War II Korean Veterans event. You did the Vietnam event for our veterans. And someday, I hope you're going to make it here to Greenwood and have the opportunity to see this awesome facility that covers not only the VA, but covers medical, finding a job, veterans court. It's a one-stop shop for our veterans here in Greenwood.
Well, let's you and I work together to make sure that happens sometime in the next few months.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that now.
Good. Very good.
All right. Well, listen, you know, I know that healthcare, I mean, the problem that I see, Tim, is that there's so many issues that the president, the Democrats, everybody is dealing on. It seems like we're getting away from the issue that was one of the most important ones, which was health care.
There's no doubt, Ann, when you look at the state of affairs and the news coverage around every hot topic du jour coming out of the White House, that it appears that we're spending more time on other issues and less time on health care, tax reform, building a better economy, increasing paychecks at home. My thought is simply this, that I have to remain focused on what makes South Carolina great. And that means dealing with the health care challenges that we have as a nation, working to cut taxes and to simplify tax reform, as well as to answer the questions about credibility in our federal government. I think we can do these issues simultaneously, and that we can be successful in our attempt of setting the free market, capitalism, free market culture of America free again. And we do that by stepping out of the conversation, not by leaning more in the conversation from a tax reform perspective. And on healthcare, we simply have to make sure that we have an America first approach to healthcare, which means that the federal government is the last place you want healthcare decisions to happen. Our approach is not to have a Republican or a Democrat solution to healthcare, but to have an American solution that not only talks about health insurance, but to lead in the direction of having a conversation about healthcare. And that's what we'll do over the next several weeks in the Senate, is to make sure that we get it right and not just fast, and present a solution to the American people that we all can be proud of. and move healthcare from heading towards a single payer, being the federal government, and back towards private industry, controlling, along with patients and doctors, healthcare decisions.
Yeah. Now, Tim, what do you think about are we going to expect a repeal of the ACA?
I think we are well on our way of making that happen. I believe that if you look at the current condition of the ACA, you would say or suggest it is on life support. The Congressional Budget Office came to the conclusion just a few years ago that they could no longer anticipate and analyze the actual cost of health care delivered through the ACA because it had become too difficult. If you don't know how much it's going to cost, it's not going to last. That's just common sense from my perspective. So what we are engaged in is making sure that the private sector, that the experts in health care and health insurance, along with patients and doctors, are making those decisions. We will tackle the disparities between expansion states like California versus the non-expansion states like South Carolina. There's no question in my mind that we are now subsidizing the expensive, bloated systems of other parts of this nation, and we have to bring all of those discrepancies to bear in our resolution. We should be better off under the next iteration of healthcare because we've been so lean and so efficient in how we use our Medicaid dollars. And at the same time, we need to make sure that there's competition in every sector of healthcare. And today, the exchanges are down to one player in the state exchange in South Carolina. In parts of Iowa and other parts of the nation, they are heading to zero, which sounds like the rumblings of a federal government-run healthcare system, or the joy of returning to a private sector-centric healthcare system where your quality goes up and through time your price goes down.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that has a lot of people concerned, though, Tim, is what about these pre-existing conditions and how will that affect insurance costs based on those pre-existing conditions?
And you never throw softballs. That's what I love about you. You throw them fast across the plate. I'm blinking a little bit right here. That's a great question. And the answer is a complicated answer, but I'm going to simplify it as much as I can. The answer is that we all acknowledge that pre-existing conditions impacts, I think the number is close to 1 out of 3, 1 out of 4 adult Americans have pre-existing conditions. I'm completely confident that whatever we produce will, in fact, have as its nexus a caveat for pre-existing conditions. The House plan that passed said that if you keep your coverage, if you're covered, your pre-existing conditions do not change. This is very important because much has been made in the media about the elimination of pre-existing conditions.
Right.
That is just factually not true. And number two, in order to make sure that pre-existing conditions exist in the future, we have to have what they call a set enrollment period. So you have to be able, as an insurance provider, determine who's in the pool so that you can have the appropriate rate. So we're going to make sure that there's a firm, hard, and fast enrollment period that will then allow for a pre-existing condition to continue in a fashion that we've become accustomed, but to do it not with the federal government figuring it out, but allowing state insurance agencies, allowing insurance companies, patients, and doctors to work together to resolve the issue as opposed to cost going up, coverage going down, and people leaving the market, we believe and determined to make sure that the best healthcare delivery system in the world, America's private sector, becomes in charge along with supports necessary for those folks who are struggling to afford it. So you'll see that combination take shape over the next few weeks, 6 to 7 weeks.
So are you saying before you leave for that August recess that that the Senate will have a plan done and we'll be moving forward on this?
I am certainly saying, I don't know the definition of a recess, but before that August work period where I get to travel the state and see my great friends throughout the state of South Carolina and do my constituent service work, we should be well on our way and having a product to present to the American people that returns health care to the private sector and solves some of the challenges that today's ACA is creating.
One last question.
Rolling our way.
Okay. One last question now, Tim. You know, the question about putting it in the state's parlance, how will this work, though, if we have different states have different rules, and if we move from one state to the other, will there be any rules to make sure that coverage is consistent?
That's a great question. Again, another fastball straight across the plate. They'd call that a strike if I don't touch the ball with a bat. Let me say it this way. Today, almost 19 million Americans have either paid the penalty or received a waiver to get out of the healthcare system. 14 million Americans feel trapped in the current ACA and are looking for an exit route. What we will see in our replacement plan will be a system that attracts more people into it, not run people out of it, though there may indeed, we will indeed give people the chance to make their own decisions, which is the American way. I believe the continuity of care and the provision of health insurance will actually benefit from the 50 states figuring it out. There is a framework that all states have to abide by or within, and they have to look for and receive a waiver if they want to get out of it. And that waiver would suggest that they will be able to do a better job than the cookie-cutter way that will be presented to the nation. I'm excited about where we're heading. I just hope that we have the votes to get it done. If we do, then health care as well as health insurance will become more affordable, more accessible for the public.
Well, I think you said...
Thank you.
Yeah, there were no truer words said then. If you can get it across the finish line, that's the tough one in the Senate right now, isn't it?
Well, I won't pretend to know the hearts or the intentions of other people. I can only speak for myself. We can do better. I will be voting to do better. I hope that there are 49 others who will do so, and the vice president would be happy to come in and break a tie if we only get to 50.
There you go. Hey, Senator Tim Scott, thanks so much for calling us this morning. I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you in Greenwood, South Carolina.
Always so happy to hear your wonderful voice. God bless you. God has blessed you with bless the upstate with you. So keep doing what you do.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.